Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Masjid Darus Salam, Toronto, Canada. Friday before Jummah, 5th of Ramadan, 5th of August 2011. It is easy to do good things in Ramadan. Controlling nafs is harder than controlling shaitan. Ramadan teaches us discipline. It is better to sleep than to do something bad. Offering tahajjud is easier in Ramadan. The Bayan is presented by Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Rahman Ibn Yusuf Shahib Damat Barakatuhu.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fihi mubarakan alayhi kama yuhibbu rabbuna wa yarda jalla jalaluhu wa amma nawaluhu. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidil habib al mustafa صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه وقال من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. My dear respected elders, brothers, sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A few days of Ramadan have passed, and remembering from last year and the previous years, Ramadans tend to go very fast. So before very soon, Ramadan would have been gone. The way it has become is that since it goes so fast, since it progresses extremely fast, we want to try to benefit as much from it as possible. I think if we look at it from one perspective, Ramadan is a time when many changes take place. Many changes that we can see and experience, and also a number of changes that we cannot see because they're not visible for us. There's a hadith in Bukhari which mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when Ramadan comes in, the shayateen are tied up. So they're basically imprisoned. And number two, the doors of mercy of paradise are opened up. And the doors of mercy are opened up, and the doors of wrath, they become constrained. The whole point of this is that in the universe that we cannot see, in the supralunary universe, changes are being made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The effects of them are being felt here. And nobody can deny that. It is much easier for most people, to abstain from sin. It's just a lot easier to keep your gazes down. Not to watch what we normally watch maybe. To keep the TV off. You know, to keep the music off. It's just a lot easier somehow. It's just a lot easier to come to the salat, to pray, to read Quran. We hardly can do it outside Ramadan. But in Ramadan, it just suddenly becomes easier. And there's a reason, that there's a big reason for that, which as this hadith explains. So this is undeniable. In fact, the barakah is felt not just in worship and abstinence from sins, but the barakah is also felt in the kitchens. I mean, in Ramadan, such foods come out of, mashallah, the kitchens, various different types of delicacies that Ajib, you know, where do you get the himmah while you're fasting to do that from? May Allah bless our women who do this. But Ajib, in Ramadan, the barakah is even felt in the food and in the kitchen. So we cannot deny the barakah. So that is all happening outside externally. It's all happening, it's there. The question is that how much do we benefit from it? So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is creating a change in the universe for this month, and He's saying that we're going to take out the shaitan from the equation, then it's only then to our detriment that we do not change ourselves. Now some of us may think, well, we still feel like sinning. Even though the shayateen are away, if the shayateen are away, why do we sin? Well, that's a very simple thing. That is something that is a confusing issue. It is something that we do question that why is that possible? Most of the time what happens is that, I mean, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as mentioned, Muslim mentions that every person that's born, they have a shaitan with them that whispers to them evil. When you say a'udhu billah, a person does the dhikr of Allah, the shaitan retreats. When a person stops doing the dhikr of Allah, the shaitan comes back and starts his work again. So the shaitan is quite simple to deal with in that sense. That you do dhikr and he's gone. If shaitan puts an evil thought in our mind, you say a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, the thought of evil should have gone and we should be fine. However, you will be sitting here thinking that no, there are times when I've had the thought of doing something wrong. I've said a'udhu billah, I've done dhikr, but in fact I'm making salat and I'm still feeling like I want to do the sin. So where is this? How does this work out? The reason the ulama give for that is that it's no longer the shaitan that is on us. It's not the shaitan we're dealing with anymore. The shaitan is very easy to deal with as long as we can remember to do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The shaitan will definitely retreat. He is the waswas al-khannas, definitely. However, the problem now that we're having is not the shaitan, but it's our nafs. We have a habit now of this, whatever is the thought. If it's a new sin, we say, a'udhu billah, that thought will go away. The thing which persists and which is so difficult for us to get away from. Even you do dhikr, you're doing dhikr and we still feel like doing this, we still have this inclination. It doesn't go away. It's because of our habit. When a sin is done a few times and then it's a habit, it's the nafs now wants it. And the nafs is not so easy to deal with to say a'udhu billah and it will suppress itself. No. Only the shaitan can be suppressed that way. The nafs is a lot more difficult to deal with. Why do we allow things to become a habit in the first place? Well, that's how much more effort we're going to have to put to remove that habit from our system. Now that gives us an explanation that sometimes even in salat, in sajda, there's a person who came and he said, there's a sin that I've been committing. And sometimes in the middle of salat, in my sajda, I get this inspiration from the shaitan to commit this. And I'm reading Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. And I still feel like doing it. In fact, I'm planning it. I can't help it. It's because it's become a habit. And the habit, Ramadan is one of the greatest ways of dealing with such habits. That shaitan is out of the equation, but now the nafs. The first week is a bit more difficult. But by the second to the third week, the last ashara, we should have got a grip on ourselves. Because we have been forbidden from eating, drinking and sexual intercourse for a measured number of hours. From Fajr to sunset. We're told to abstain from permissible things. So for example, if you're at work and you've got a habit of getting a cup of coffee at 11 o'clock. Now you're going to go there in Ramadan and say, my coffee. And then suddenly you're going to remember you're fasting. Your nafs wanted the coffee out of the habit that you have of having coffee at that time. But now, the nafs, you have to suppress it. I've got a fast, I can't do it. So you're suppressing it. We suppress it from permissible things. So slowly, slowly, after a few days, the nafs will stop asking for coffee at that time. Smoking will take longer. But so many people have been able to abstain, in fact, leave smoking, if they continue the commitment after Ramadan. In Ramadan, it's easier, shorter amount of hours at night to smoke in. And if somebody really has a commitment, they can go a few days. What's really beneficial is if somebody adds to that the sixth fast of Shawwal. One of the wisdoms I see in the sixth fast of Shawwal is that in Ramadan, when we have the shaitan out of the equation, it's a lot easier to worship and abstain from sins. Plus there's a collective effort that's going on. So that really helps. When everybody's doing the same thing, it really helps us to also do good. Once shaitan comes out after Ramadan on the day of Eid, then the insinuations begin again. If we are fasting then from the next day, six fasts, then we get a bit of a practice of continuing our good habits from Ramadan, but while the shaitan is around. That's one of the biggest wisdoms that I see, one very big wisdom I see of the six fast of Shawwal, it's to continue the benefits of Ramadan outside Ramadan while the shaitan is around us. Because when we're fasting, we still feel ashamed to do these things. When we're fasting, we don't do these things. Fasting is a shield in that sense. So now the thing is that when we suppress our nafs from permissible things, it should become easier now to suppress from evil things. The problem is that when shaitan comes out after Ramadan, he comes out with a vengeance. And there are many people who have mentioned that, I did so well during the month of Ramadan. I was abstaining from all of these things and so on. Came the day of Eid and I just went right back into it. And I wiped out everything of Ramadan. The reason I'm talking about Eid right now is because we need to psychologically be prepared for this. That shaitan, when he comes back out, he will want to come and destroy everything we've done in Ramadan. And there are people who've come and they've confessed that we've destroyed everything on the day of Eid or the next day. And then the demoralizing feeling that a person gets after that, it's really sad. In fact, shaitan does this before he goes in. Shaitan, he knows he's going to go in. So the day, you know, the days before Eid, the days before Ramadan, he's going to try to get people involved in some kind of bickering. Most of the time, that's the best, and the moon issue is the biggest one. So it'll get you involved so that the first few days as you go into Ramadan, we're bickering. We've got a problem. And shaitan, he's tied up, but he's left his benefit. He's left his, you know, something to his benefit. So we need to be aware of this because shaitan is our enemy. And if we know our enemy and how he acts, we can be prepared for it. So may Allah give us tawfiq to fortify us in ourselves in such a way that the benefits of this continue. Because the whole point of Ramadan is literally that 1 month in which Allah makes all of these changes, knowing human nature. That look, we're going to give you 1 month like this. If it was always like this, it'd be different. The challenge would not be there. The challenge we have in this world is because the shaitan is there. To see who does well and who does not do well. But we're going to give you 1 month. And we hope that in that month, you will become better than last year. Now, alhamdulillah, many people become a lot better. But the problem is after Ramadan, if you go back to what we were done before Ramadan, then that Ramadan hasn't really been of sustaining benefit for us. So the whole idea is that even if we can't become pious awliya, may Allah make us all pious awliya, but if we can't do that, at least we're a few degrees better than we were last year. So in every subsequent Ramadan, we maintain the benefits of that Ramadan, so that the next coming year will always be better than our last year. And until we meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'll be a lot better off. So that's the main thing, is to practice in Ramadan, worship in Ramadan, discipline ourselves in Ramadan. Ramadan is a time for discipline. It's major. It's a really major time for discipline because we change everything about ourselves. The other thing about Ramadan and taking the benefit of Ramadan is that the concentrated amount of benefits in a moment of Ramadan cannot be replicated throughout the year. According to Sheikh Ahmed Sarhindi, Mujaddid Al-Thani, the reviver of the second millennium, he says that the benefits that are in the reward, the mercy, the from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are concentrated in one moment of Ramadan cannot be replicated with an entire year. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if somebody forgoes one fast of Ramadan for, you know, no reason, just misses a fast of Ramadan, then he fasts for the rest of his life outside Ramadan. So year in, year out, other than Ramadan, he fasts every single day. He would, all of those days would not bring him the same reward as that one day of Ramadan. That's why, though when you're traveling and when you're sick, it's permissible to forego the fast, as the concession is there. But if you can keep the fast, then you don't want to forego it. Because you will never be able to recoup that benefit. Now, unfortunately, we just can't see that all add up in a bank balance. So we can't tell. We're just going according to what the Prophet ﷺ told us. But in the hereafter, it will be clear for us. If we've missed that fast, we'll see such a big gap. The benefits of Ramadan in a fast are so great, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that an entire lifetime of other days fast would not be able to recoup you the same reward. Likewise, in every other moment in the month of Ramadan, the similar thing happens. The similar thing happens. That every moment, we need to see how we're spending it. I mean, just think back to our last 2-3 days. Who can seriously say that I have not wasted a moment of this month since it started? I changed myself. I made myself disciplined. Now, when I don't mean that you have to occupy your entire day with worship, because that's not possible for most of us who do work, who are studying or whatever. There are two things that we should restrict ourselves to in Ramadan. One is any dunyawi work that has to be done. So your jobs. If you're studying any project that has to be finished, then that's a dunyawi thing which is of benefit. So you either spend time doing that or worship. That's basically the only two things. That means that yes, maybe after you go out of the masjid, after a salat, you have to talk to somebody, you know, have a little discussion, you know, that's fine, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, you know. Because we're very social creatures. We're not hermits. So if we were to close ourselves away completely for 30 days, it's very difficult on the nafs. It's very difficult on us and we may just not be able to bear it. So it's okay to have a small discussion. But when it gets long and you just sit and just relax and just do nothing. In fact, waste time. That's what the problem is. In fact, what people like Imam Ghazali would say is that if you cannot, and these are normal days he would speak about this, he would say that attempt your best to try to spend every moment of your life in doing something good. Whether it's of good worldly benefit and ukhrawi benefit, both. If you are unable to do that and you're spending time in wrong, then it's better for you to sleep. Because at least sleep is the middle path. You're neither benefiting, but neither are you harming yourself. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi alayhi, was a major psychologist. He's talking to the nafs right now, he's talking to the self. Saying, look, if you cannot spend time doing good in your normal daily life every moment, then go to sleep if you're going to spend time doing it. Because sleep is better than that. So now everybody thinks, okay, great, I'll sleep. Then he says, but the problem is, what good is there in life in which you sleep? Because sleep is the sister of death. So what's the benefit in that? So he's taking us through an intellectual journey, right? A psychological journey to correct ourselves, reorient ourselves, that look, there's no point in sleep or doing evil, let's try to do good. So at least in Ramadan, we want to try to discipline ourselves to do that. So it's just no wasting of time, not just, you know, endless hours of gossip, laughing, you know, a bit maybe it's okay just so that, you know, we don't feel that we're completely closed away. The whole thing about Ramadan, as Maulana Shabali Thanwi rahmatullahi explains it, he says that if you look at Ramadan, it really comes down to three things. It's a destabilizing process to reorient the nafs. So he says there's three things that are being decreased. He said it's all about taqleel. This ummah, this religion is of moderation. It is, how many minutes do we have? This religion, the ummah that we have is of moderation. We're not told to go into a cave and just close ourselves away from everybody. In Ramadan, he mentions that there are three things that are happening. One is taqleelu ta'am. Another one is taqleelu nawm. And number three is taqleelu al-ikhtilati bin nas. What basically this means is that number one, we're told to eat less. It's not like a 24-hour fast. In fact, it's wrong to fast consecutively for a few days without eating, because the point is not to starve yourself and totally, you know, harm yourself. The whole thing is to imbalance your nafs, so that you can reorient it and make it do what you want it to do. So that the control the nafs has on us is decreased and we start controlling the nafs. No, you cannot do this, you cannot do this. You can't eat, you can't drink, you can't have sexual intercourse, so you can't even do haram, you can't do that as well. That's the whole problem. So taqleelu ta'am, to decrease the food. Now of course in that sense, if we're going to try to do our breakfast and supper, our lunch and supper in iftar time and after, and just try to shove in as much as possible, right? That's obviously going to lose the... If you discipline yourself from the first day of Ramadan and iftar, you will have discipline from the rest of the month. Once you start stuffing yourself, then it's a problem. And the problem is that the eyes are greedier than the mouth. So when you see a lot of food, you're very hungry, then you feel like the brain takes a while to catch up. So you eat a lot. That's why what they normally say is that, and subhanAllah, the tartib we have, which is that you eat a date first, then make salat, it gives time for the system to catch up. So now you don't feel as hungry anymore. Dates are very khajur, they are extremely potent in that regard. Because they give you the initial rush of energy that you need, then your mind catches up through salat, and then after that you go and eat. The problem with the Indian Pakistani is that we throw in a lot of the samosas and the fried stuff straight away. So, wallahu alam, I don't know how beneficial that is, right? But, so decrease in food, decrease in sleep. You've got taraweeh, you've got suhoor, you've got tahajjud. So it's supposed to have a decrease in sleep, which that again, that imbalance is, creates an imbalance in us. Number three for the few that do this, and everybody should attempt to some degree, is the i'tikaf. Now look at the virtue, look at the wisdom in the i'tikaf. We're not told to go and spend time in a corner not talking to anybody completely. But we have decreased our touch and interaction with only one group of people. And you know who we are, when in i'tikaf, we're not cutting ourselves completely away, but we're only going to be meeting with a small group of people, and that those people are the believers. The Prophet ﷺ said that whoever frequents the masjid, bear witness that he's a believer. So the people who are in i'tikaf, it's not that they're not going to speak to anybody. They might have some discussion with some, you know, somebody who comes in, maybe they need something or whatever. So the only people you do ikhtilat with, that you interact with, are the believers. So that's a restricted time where you're only with the believers. The whole of this is supposed to help us to get a grip on ourselves. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you gain taqwa. Taqwa cannot be achieved, true fear of Allah, when the nafs is above us, when the nafs overcomes us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to get a grip on ourselves, which we get in Ramadan, and to maintain it and sustain it throughout the year, so that we can be better off next year in the next Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us in that regard. Just one thing finally, that everybody gets up for suhoor, because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that tasahharu fa inna fi suhoori baraka, that there's blessing in suhoor. So don't just eat at night and then go to sleep and then wake up for fajr. Try to get up and have some suhoor. Now if you're not into big suhoor, you know, I can't eat at that time, nobody's telling you to eat at that time. We're saying have suhoor. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, suhoor was simple, a date, maybe some milk, whatever. So you're not saying have big, you know, biryanis at that time. That's not the point. Get up, have one date, and that's your sunnah. And that will inshallah benefit you. But the main thing I want to speak about is that when you do get up for suhoor, that is also the time for tahajjud. We hardly get a chance to do tahajjud prayer outside the month of Ramadan. That's why I would encourage all those who are listening here and the sisters at home as well, that at least do 2 rakats of tahajjud, and a 3 to 5 minute dua for ourselves, our families, and the Muslim ummah before the suhoor ends, before the sahri time ends. So if you've got a half an hour slot, eat for 20 minutes, 5 minutes, 2 to 4 rakats, and then 5 minutes of dua minimum. This is just habit. Try not to let any one day go by without tahajjud being done. If you can't do it outside the month of Ramadan, we have no excuse not to do it in the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us all. May Allah give us istiqamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us discipline of our soul. And may Allah bless us during this month of Ramadan so we can acquire the benefits of it. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.